Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The word chronicle means history, record. This is the history of the nation of Israel. And so we are at the family of Judah, and I'm going to read these names, and I'm not going to say them right, but thank the Lord, none of those people are here today. They will not care. I know one preacher that refuses to say the Bible names. He just says Bill, Harry, and whatever. You know, he fills them in. But, you know, we're just going to give it a shot because the purpose of this is that there is emphasis on these names, and then all of a sudden, he goes beyond the name and he tells a story. All right? So we got 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reah, the son of Shobal, beget Jahath, and Jahath beget Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hezalapone, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Hushan. These are the sons of the Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. And Nara bare him as Ahuzam and Hefer. Aren't you glad you don't have that name? And Timnah and Ahashtarah. These were the sons of Nara. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jozear and Ethan. And Kaz beget Anub and Zobabah and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And here it is. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I want you to say that with me, starting with, and God. You ready? And God granted him that which he requested. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us to look more like you. Convince us, Father, in this service to ask you for what you would have us to ask you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. It's taken me two services to realize that the song that they just sang fits perfectly with this message. So I've been referring to the prayer of Jabez for a while. It's probably been 5 to 10 years since I have just straight up preached on it. The simple title of this message is A Challenge and a Chilling Warning. A challenge and a chilling warning. The challenge comes from the prayer of Jabez. And so what I want to share with you is a little bit of background. First of all, Bruce Wilkinson wrote several books. I believe this was one of his first little books that he wrote. I shared with the first service, and this isn't a condemnation. It's just a recognizing the fact that Christians are like anyone else. We're human. Even in our Christian ways, we pick up human ways, and they're not necessarily wrong. Most of it depends on the motives. But something I've noticed about Christian retailership, if you will, is that one guy gets a hit, guess what everybody else does? They start mimicking that and following that. Well, imitation is the best form of flattery. But they're also trying to make a dollar. I get it. They're trying to stay afloat. They're trying to survive. Amen. But to the best of my memory, that was the first author that ever, just a little book. I mean, you can literally read this in less than an hour. And the prayer of Jabez. And before you know it, you had the prayer of Jesus. And before you know it, you know, you had the prayer of your neighbor. I mean, you know, just everybody was hitting on that. And again, that's okay. But what absolutely impressed me and changed the way I look at this particular situation is how he brought it to life. Little bitty shameless plug, we have this book in the library. Now, I don't know if someone checked it out after first service, because I gave the same plug in first service. Diane Burnett, Tracy Males, Joy Ragsdale, when she's able to be here, she's got some health issues. Please pray for her. And there's probably several others that can help you check that out. If you get there too late and you want that book, you let us know. We can make that happen. But it is simply a treaty of what Jabez did. Now, this is what you need to know about the children of Israel. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Israel is given the command that as you rise, you are to teach your children what I did for you. This is from God. God, through Moses, tells them in Deuteronomy, when your children rise up from the bed, you are to tell them what I've done for you. Well, what has God done for the children of Israel by Deuteronomy? By Deuteronomy, he has sustained them through a famine that brought them all to Egypt. He caused Egypt to accept an entire nation into their borders. But after 400 years, guess what happened? That nation became slaves to the parent nation, Egypt, that had basically kept them alive during the famine. And then God delivered them. No minor miracle here. Major, life-changing, world-shaking miracle. The Red Sea parted. They walked over on dry ground and got to the other side, and then the Red Sea enveloped all of the army of Egypt. That's impressive, folks. And God is saying, tell your children, who are hundreds now of years removed from that event, tell your children that I am God, and I love them, and I'll do the same for them type thing, if and when they need it. And then he brought them across the Jordan in very much the same way. Tell them. So Jabez has been raised from birth hearing about how God loved him and how God had time after time after time delivered his children. And baby, his mom would say, you are a child of God. He'll deliver you when you need him to. But now we get to his name. So you see, we won't know till heaven, and we're going to have a chat with Jabez's mom. I want to know. She's one of two people. She's this person over here that my father-in-law would call a pistol, a character. So she named her little baby a pain because that little fella put her through a lot of pain. So she thought, all right, you little monster, you're going to carry this all through your life. You know, and they joked about it and played with it and had a good time with it. Or she was the person that almost died and she wanted her son to know, bless your heart, you are a pain. I don't think either direction was negative. I think both sides were meant to ultimately bless. But yet, you can't get away from his name means sorrow. Can you imagine those first introductions? This is Bill and this is Sorrow. Hello, Sorrow. I think I've got something to do. Who's going to play with Sorrow? Who's going to want to be around Sorrow? And he bore that and he carried that. Who knows if Mom ever got to the point that she regretted doing that. But the bottom line is, watch this. Who he was, a pain, a sinner, was overshadowed by who God was, the deliverer. And so at some point in time in Jabez's life, he sucked up a bunch of air in his lungs and he said, all right, Lord, here I stand before you, a pain. So much so my mom called me. I carry it every day. But Lord, I am looking to you and I'm begging you, place your hand upon me. Give me your blessing, Lord. If you got a blessing up there today, Lord, I'm asking for it. Lord, enlarge my coasts. And oh God, keep your hand upon me that I may not cause any more pain. Keep me from evil, Lord. Help me not to cause pain. And there it is. And God granted him that which he requested. Church, the challenge today is to let's mimic Jabez. So we're going to get to these points. Point number one, he had a constant reminder. Jabez, his name was a constant reminder that he needed an outside source to make it possible for him to live a life of fulfillment. Church, none of you have the ability with inside of yourself to have a life of fulfillment, not a one of you. And it's called sin. We're sinners. We need a Savior. And hallelujah, praise the Lamb, we have one. Jesus Christ, 2,000 plus years ago, came and lived this life, lived the life that you're living right now, robed in flesh, the incarnate Christ, and he died on the cross, a perfect sinner, bearing yours and my shame. And it killed him. He gave his life for you and I, for our sin, and he buried it. And he put it away, and he rose from the dead. We have a Savior. And Jabez was trusting in that Old Testament promised Savior. Every sacrifice that the Old Testament required was never meant to remit for sin. It was never meant to forgive sin. It was to point the once for all sacrifice that does forgive sin. And Jabez knew that. Because any well-discipled Jewish person knew that even at the garden, the gospel was preached. I will bless all nations through her seed. And he passed that on to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jabez knew that. But he had a constant reminder too. His name, his sin nature. And so he knew for fulfillment, he had to go outside of himself. And church, I'm telling you, for you to have fulfillment in this life, you have to go outside of yourself. And God is the one that we should go to. Point number two is he asked God to do what God naturally does. Y'all notice anything this morning about 7:15? Sun came up. Praise God. I can tell you that I never get out on the porch about that time ago. Because at least for 6,000 years that we know of, the sun has come up in the east. Me and Bo had a little argument yesterday. The sun was coming up, and I said, well, here's the east. And he goes, no, the east is over here. I'm like, dude, I think I got you on this one. Because the sun has come up in the east for all these years. Oh, okay. And anyway, he had it mixed up in his head. Now, watch this. If the sun's not up, I'm lost. I don't know north, east, south, east. I can't even say it. I don't know it without the sun up. And when the sun gets in the middle, I'm lost for the rest of the day type thing. So I'm not trying here to braggadocious on what I know. I'm telling you that God naturally blesses every day. You have a 14 to 16 hour day almost every day. You have the nighttime come. And most of us, we really don't like the nighttime because it's spooky and it's scary and all that stuff. But watch this. Aren't you glad you get about 8 to 10 hours of rest? Church, you need that. You need that. We need that. And God built that in. That's a part of his blessing. He just loves to naturally bless. And Jabez asked God to do for him what God loves to naturally do. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. So here's the challenge. We've got a few more points to go and then a chilling warning. I'm lovingly asking you for the next 7 days. I've challenged my own family. We started this 2 days ago at 9 p.m. I forgot the first night. Surprise, surprise. At 9 p.m., but now the phone reminds me. I send out a text. Okay, what has God blessed you with today? This is what I'm asking you to ask, and I believe this is what Jabez was asking. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel here. We've already talked to you about Chris. I believe that bad things happen to good people. And I don't believe that God owes anyone an apology. I believe sin and the devil are the authors, if you will, of those things. But God allows it or he's not God. With that said, church, it's important for you and I to do what Jabez did here and ask God, do you have a blessing for me? If you do, I'm asking for it today. Ask him for a blessing. Now, Mr. Jones went to heaven. This is a story that Bruce Wilkinson tells in his book. Mr. Jones went to heaven, and St. Peter was at the front gate, and he met him, and he gives him a tour, a grand tour of heaven, and that's awesome. It's amazing. But halfway through the day, Mr. Jones realizes that they're never going over here to this huge, unbelievably large warehouse, and he just asks the question, St. Peter, what's over there? Ah, you don't need to worry about that. All these other stuff is so much more important. But yet, Mr. Jones wants to know, now he really wants to know, why does St. Peter not want me to know about this? And it's not that he doesn't want him to know. He just tells him, you're not going to like it. You're just not. So at the end of the day, after he's seen everything, he's had worship service with God and Jesus, if you will, and he's done. Now he's just going to live the rest of his life in this wonderful place. He says, I still want to know about the warehouse, St. Peter. So St. Peter relents. It's heaven. There's nothing off bounds. But he goes to the warehouse, and St. Peter says, I'm telling you, you're not going to like what you see in here. So let's just take a peek. He opens the door and he looks, and there's row after row after row of pallet racking of box after box after box with red bows on the white boxes and names on the boxes. And he says, okay, what's up? What is this? This is the warehouse of blessings that God had for people that they never asked for. They never asked God? But God was going to give them. Yep. And everybody, hey, everybody, where's mine? Oh, you don't want to see your box. Yeah, I do. Took him to Mr. Jones's box, got it off the pallet racking, pulled the bow, opened the box. And Mr. Jones goes, you're right, St. Peter. I needed that. I needed that. I knew I needed that, but I never asked God to help me with that. I know. Everybody goes through the same thing, Mr. Jones. That's why I try to tell you. Nothing you can do about it now. It's just in the warehouse. It's okay. You got heaven. But I could have had this while I was on earth. You see, these aren't necessarily material possessions. Might not ever be material possessions, but it is a blessing that God has designed for you that you need, that if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. So we just get in a habit. Lord, would you please, if you have a blessing for me that would bring glory to your name as a result of you giving it to me, I'm here. I'm just telling you, I'm ready to receive. Now, I've done this for several months now because I've told you all about my situation in December where God drew the line with me and said, you're mailing this in. You're not taking your daily quiet time seriously. And he was right, and I repented. And ever since, by God's glory and by God's grace, I have been trying to have a meaningful time, just me and him type thing. And one of the things about 4, 5, 6 months ago that I added was the prayer of Jabez. And about a week ago, God said, you need to notice what it is, Ben. It's not enough just to ask for it. You're right, Lord. So, Lord, help me to notice it. What? Show me your magnificence today and help me to be aware of it when I'm seeing it so I can give you the praise. And so I'm lovingly asking you to ask God, give me a blessing today if you have it for me for your glory and help me to know what it is. And watch this. Share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. I've challenged my 6 right now, that includes Benjamin's girlfriend, to tell us at 9 p.m., what did God do for you today that you noticed? How did he bless you? Just so we could relish in that with each other, so that we could all praise God. I believe it will bless you if you will let other people know how God has blessed you. Point number 3, he asked for God to give him greater influence. Lord, enlarge my territory. Yes, I believe this could include, it's okay for God to bless you financially. It's okay for God to bless your business or the business that you are a part of. Watch this, workers. God should bless your employer because of your hard work. He should. You should go in there saying, I want to make you successful because I believe that if I make you successful, God will bless me as a result. Now, you're not doing it for those motives as much as you just know that's how God works. Enlarge my territory. I believe, however, demonstratively, mostly this is in the spiritual realm. Church, we have a great commission upon us. Lord, enlarge my coasts. Give me more opportunity to share your gospel. Give me more opportunity to share your righteousness. Give me more opportunity to share your name. If you ask that, I believe God will do it. I've seen him do it. Point number four, he asked for daily direction. Anybody in here need that? Every day. That your hand be upon me. Sometimes I want to just do this. Okay. Thank you, Lord. You know, because, oh my goodness, if I'm not careful, I love the guy's definition of manhood. And sorry, men, this is just where I'm at. A speck of attention on a sea of oblivion. Bless our hearts. And I appreciate it every time God says, right here, this is what I want you to do. Put your hand, that your hand would be upon me. Point number five, he asked to not cause pain to himself or anyone else. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Guys, I have a great potential to cause pain. Nobody knows that more than my family and specifically my wife and kids. I have a great potential to cause pain. And as I have grown up and as I have grown old, I have a greater desire not to cause pain. And so you talk about relating to this prayer. And church, if all of us, and we do, if all of us want to be good family members, this is a prayer we want to pray. Lord, please keep me from hurting people. Specifically my family, but anyone else certainly as well. And even when you do, Lord, help me to do the right thing after I've done the wrong thing. And that brings us to the chilling warning. You see, we all, every day, all day, battle with sin. There's not a person in here that can say, nope, Brother Ben, don't really have that problem. You're a liar. And that means you're a sinner. And I know no one in here would say that. I found this 10 years ago, probably, 8 years ago for sure, at a dog retreat. That'll be another time I have to explain that if you don't know what that's about. And I saw this in a creek. I was just walking in the creek, had some time to kill, and I saw this rock completely encapsulated with this root. And there's, say again? Yes, sir. And I saw other rocks embedded in the root. Now, I want to animate this for just a moment. Let's just pretend that these things that personify. Let's do some personification. The rock is you. The root is your sin. And when this started, this rock was a big old rock at the very start. And this root was a little bitty root. And that rock thought, that root ain't nothing to me. I can stop this anytime I want to. I can overcome this anytime I want to. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5 years passed, and this rock is completely encapsulated. And here was the question. In that creek, that I feel like God, and he was dealing with something with me, I guarantee you, and he said, does the rock have the root? Or does the root have the rock? Well, I broke the root, and I answered my question. The root has the rock. I can do anything with that rock I want to do because the sin has completely jailed it. This root is a prison to this rock. In church, our sin is a prison to our life. Do you have it, or does it have you? It's only a matter of time before it has you. If there is a sin in your life that you know you have to overcome or left unchecked, and I think this is all sin, will destroy you. Brother Ben, it's just a little white lie. Well, white lies turn into really dark black lies. And just go from there. What is it? A loving, chilling warning. Let's stand, musicians. Will you come? You see, Jabez refused to be a captive of his situation. And so he went to the God of Israel that delivers. He believed for it. And he asked God to change his painful situation. Where are you at? Folks, we all have pain somewhere. We all have sin somewhere. Let's, by God's grace, there's only one fix to sin, and that's crucifixion. You've got to mortify it, put it to death. And you can do that through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I know that if we're not careful, we don't even understand the power that rests in us. But the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives within us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come forward and do just that. And you'll see this church come apart if you do that. And we'll be thrilled and excited. I'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just want to come and make this an old-fashioned altar, like the Rapold family did this morning, praying for Robert. Everybody in their Sunday school class that was here at First Service type thing came and got around them. And if you need help, you just let me know. I'll call folks to come help you pray and the such. Whatever the case may be, let's sing. Will you come?